You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 12, Episode 9 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In this season, we're focusing on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, and what Peter wrote about the need to add to our faith. We began by talking about how faith is the foundation, faith is the starting point. And from there, we've looked at the various characteristics that Peter said we are to add to our faith. And in this lesson, we're looking at the last one of those characteristics he talked about, adding love. So let's get started. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. As we talk about love here, this is a word that we often talk about. People will describe this and talk about this and want to emphasize this, which is a good thing. We need to make sure we understand what the Bible says about love. The Greek word agape is the word that is translated love. Most of the times it's used in the Bible. And this is an active love. This isn't just a feeling or an emotion. This is an active love. It means we are striving to do what is best for others. It's similar to what we talked about last week when we talked about brotherly kindness. But that was, as we talked about that last week, that was focused on dealing with our brethren. We talked about who our brothers are. This is going to be broader in scope. So when we talk about love, we're talking about an active love where we are doing the best for others. One definition of this word explained that this was not shown by doing what the person loved desires, but what the one who loves deems as needed by the one loved. In other words, if I love someone, I'm not going to necessarily give them what they want. I'm going to give them what I believe they need. John 3:16, a well-known verse in the Bible, talks about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That wouldn't necessarily be if you were to ask some random person on the street, what is it that you need? And if you have God who's willing to give you anything, what is it that you would want to have? A lot of people with no interest in eternal life, no interest in spiritual things, no recognition of their own sin, might not think, well, I need Jesus to offer himself to make atonement for my sins that I can be saved. They might come up with any number of things, but God, he loved the world. He didn't give people just anything that they wanted. He gave people what they needed. He gave them a Savior. This is the idea of love. We give to others what they need, not necessarily what they think they want. Vines described this word as Christian love that is not an impulse from the feelings, and it does not always run with the natural inclinations. This is something that is a conscious decision that we make. It's not just an emotion. Not just a reaction. This is about seeking the good of others, even ahead of our own interests. But it is an active decision to seek the good of others. Now, what does love look like without faith? We're to add this to our faith, but what if we don't start with faith? What does love look like without faith? People in the world will often talk about love and appeal to it as a fundamental principle in their lives. But without faith, love falls short of what it ought to be. Or the definition of love changes. Well, what does love look like without faith? Well, one thing it looks like is what is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 with the church at Corinth. Love without faith, or not built upon faith, results in accepting sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul said that it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would have been removed from your midst. The word love is not there, but the attitude is the attitude that many people have who cite love as the reason why they are tolerant of sin, why they accept those who refuse to repent of sin. For many people, to love someone is to choose their accept their chosen lifestyle. They choose to live a certain way. This man in Corinth chose his behavior, his lifestyle, and Corinth accepted him. Love without faith will accept sin. Love without faith means that we are going to be enabling sinful behavior. Again, giving someone what they want, not necessarily what they need. In Luke chapter 15, we have the parable of the prodigal son. And in Luke chapter 15, we won't read these verses, but if you go and read those verses on your own, Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, what you have is the younger of the two sons asks his father for his share of it, of the inheritance. He takes it. He goes to a far country, and he comes to be impoverished. He is starving. He's not able to care for himself, and he realizes he needs to go back to his father. Well, what the father does is he waits. He waits for him to come back. He's watching for him, and when he sees him come, he goes out and welcomes him, but he's waiting for him. He doesn't go out and find him and check on him and make sure that he's okay and make sure he has everything that he needs. That young man had to make sure, or he had to know that he had done wrong, and he had to ask for help. He had to repent. He had to come back. We can only help people after they want to repent. We can't, if they're in sin and destroying their life like this young man was doing, we can't just enable it. We can't just, well, here's some more money. Here's some more of this. Here's some more of that. They have to want to repent. And love without faith leads one to enable that person's destructive behavior. Also, love without faith, one of the ways that this is often manifested, sadly, in our society is a disregard for God's marriage law. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. But there are a lot of people who say, well, we can just ignore what God's law says because people love each other. Love, and that claim of love, is used to justify premarital sex. It's used to justify adulterous marriages. It's used to justify homosexual relationships. Anything that people want to throw under this heading, well, these people love each other, and so it's okay. Well, if we love each other, if we love others, and it's built on faith, we're going to act in faith. And we're not going to disregard God's marriage law. Marriage, as God defined it, is held in honor. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, regardless of how much they say they love one another, God will judge. So those are some ways that, you know, we see love without faith. But what does love look like with faith? The foundation of faith, or the source of faith, is the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And so if we're going to love based upon this standard, because that's what we're building on, what does love look like with faith? Well, the first thing we see over in 1 John chapter 5, what love looks like with faith is that first and foremost, we're going to obey God's commandments. 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said over in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What does love look like with faith? We're obeying God. We're obeying what he says to do. We're doing what his word instructs us to do. And then in John chapter 15 and verse 13, What does love look like with faith? Well, love that is added to faith will bring with it a willingness to sacrifice. John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Now, he's talking about what he was going to do. But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, we are to follow Jesus' example. Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He was willing to sacrifice for us. We are to sacrifice for others. We are to be willing to put others ahead of ourselves. Willingness to sacrifice if we have love that is added to faith. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a passage that goes into detail in many different ways describing what love is and what love does. But one thing that I wanted to point out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because this is contrary to what many people think about love. This goes back to the idea of love tolerating sin or love disregarding God's law, particularly God's marriage law, love enabling some type of destructive behavior. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6 says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love that is added to faith loves what is true and not what is false, loves what is right and not what is wrong. It, as Romans 12 and verse 9 says, abhors what is evil and clings to what is good. We are told in Ephesians 4 and verse 15 to speak the truth in love. If we love based upon faith, we're going to value the truth. We're going to hold to the truth. We're going to proclaim the truth. And also in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, Peter says there, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Now, we think, well, if it covers a multitude of sin, that means we're tolerating sin, we're overlooking sin. Well, no, we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Corinthians were tolerating sin or overlooking sin, and they were condemned for it. They were rebuked for it. When Peter talked about love covering a multitude of sin, the focus there is on unity. The focus there is on trying to keep brethren together and working through these problems rather than just dividing from one another over everything, while at the same time not just sweeping everything under the rug and acting as if there is no problem. Over in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgression. There's a comparison there between love and hatred. Love covers all transgressions because it's trying to keep unity. Hatred stirs up strife. Unity, though, as we understand, must be the unity of the Spirit, must be according to God's precepts. We're trying to keep everyone together. If someone is in sin, we're trying to get them to repent. If someone is wrong, we're trying to get them to change. And if we are all doing what God wants us to be doing, we're trying to all stay together. And if one person sins against another, we're trying to keep everyone together. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's what love looks like with faith. So how do we go about adding love to our faith? Again, we go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say that we are to do to add love to our faith? Well, number one, we have to know the law of God. John chapter 13, John chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This was a commandment. This is what he told them to do. We have to know what his law says. And so we have to know the law of God if we're going to add love to our faith. This comes from an attitude of love for God's law, because we're going to spend time focusing on his law and going to his law and being guided by his law. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We have to go to God's law. We have to go to his commandments. We have to realize going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love is the way that we are to follow. We won't go through chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians that describes love. We noticed one verse in the on a previous point. But what I want us to notice here is the verse right before chapter 13. Chapter 12 and verse 31. He says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. That's the way of love. Love is the more excellent way. If we're going to add love to our faith, we do that by recognizing that it is the excellent way. It is the more excellent way. It's the way that we are to follow. If we're going to add love to our faith, we are to recognize that the Lord has shown love for us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, for in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We made the same point in the last lesson about brotherly kindness, but it bears repeating. We need to recognize what God has done for us, what the Lord has done for us. And if we do that, we can show love for others. But also, if we're going to do this, we need to see people as God sees them. God reminded Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, when he was going to anoint David as king, and David was, or Samuel was not sure which one of Jesse's sons was going, God was going to pick. The Lord reminded him in 1 Samuel 16, 7, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We need to see people as God sees them, that they are souls that are made in his image. We mentioned earlier in this episode, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. It's not necessarily what everyone wanted, but it's what everyone needed. God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. If we recognize how God views us, we need to see people as God sees them, because that is our perfect example. So as we think about these characteristics that we are to add to our faith, and particularly this one we've talked about today, add love, we have to have faith in order to please God. We have to have faith to be saved. And we have to continue to grow in our faith and add to our faith. And we need to add love to our faith, not as the world defines it, not even as the religious world might define it, but as God defines it. Add love by obeying the Lord, by valuing the truth, by seeking the best interest of others, and by keeping ourselves from sin.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
I wanted to let you know about a special offer that's going on right now for a resource that I put together. A couple years ago, I ran a series on the website called The Real Pharisees that examined this group, who they were, and how they're described in the New Testament, and what lessons we can learn from them. That term is thrown around a lot about who the Pharisees were, and people are called Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? What do we know about them? What can we learn from them? I ran that series, and since then, that material has been put together in book form and paperback. And this month, for the month of March, it's on sale through Gospel Armory, so you can get that at 20% off the regular price. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out. There'll be a link in the show notes. Next week, we're going to be talking about what it means if we lack these qualities that we've discussed over the last several weeks, because Peter mentions that as well and talks about that. So we'll discuss that next week. Until then, I hope you have a great week.